Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. King Herod heard about Jesus, for his fame had become widespread, and people were saying, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why mighty powers are at work at him." Others were saying, "He's Elijah." Still others, "He's a prophet like any of the prophets." But when Herod learned of it, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised up." Herod was the one who had had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. His own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant whatever you ask of me, even to half my kingdom." She went out to her mother and said, "What shall I ask for?" Her mother replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Today on this feast and in the readings, we see very powerful stories about the virtue of courage. The book of Sirach describes the multiple instances of David's courage. Courage when he was a young boy, battling with faith in the Lord against lions as though they were calves, with bears as though they were lambs. The courage it took to slay Goliath with 5 pebbles and a slingshot, but also the name of the Lord. The courage it took continuously to lead his army into battle against the hostile Philistines. The courage it took to repent after he had committed a terrible sin. David's whole life is an example of courage. We see in St. John the Baptist, likewise, the courage to call out to Herod that it was unlawful for him to marry his brother's wife, that incest is wrong, that certain marriages are offenses to the Lord rather than opportunities of praise. He was willing to suffer the consequences of those choices precisely because of his courage. Today on the Feast of St. Agatha, we remember her 20-year-old courage. In 251, under the governor Quintian in Sicily, during the time of the ferocious anti-persecution of Decius, Quintian had heard of her beauty and wanted that beauty to be his. After all, he was the emperor. Why shouldn't his will be dominant? But she had another lord, and she entrusted herself to him, even when Quintian was sending her to a brothel for a month in order to be violated. She trusted in the Lord. She trusted in him when he had her stripped naked and rubbed over glass. She continued to have that type of courage until the end. She said, "Possess me wholly, Lord, and give me the courage not to consent to these devils." Courage. It's not just a natural virtue. It's not just this capacity to do something despite our fears. There's a root of it in the faith. And in this letter to the book of Sirach, it points to it very clearly. In the second half of this reading, it talks about David's piety. It talks about his faith in the Lord. We see David's piety, for example, when he dances before the ark, even though one of his wives would mock him for that type of enthusiasm. But he had the love for the Lord to be willing to be embarrassed. David had the piety such that his whole being loved his Maker. And daily he had his praises sung. He made all of those psalms. He set singers before the altar, and by their voices they made sweet melody. He added beauty to the feasts. He solemnized the seasons of the year, so that when the holy name was praised before daybreak, the sanctuary would resound. He was pious enough that even though he could get up whatever time he wanted, he was getting up before dawn in order to praise the Lord. That's the piety that led him to repent. And that's the piety that ultimately led to his courage. He was able to call on the name of the Lord. He was able to trust in him, as we heard earlier this week, when he entrusted himself to the Lord during a time where he needed to be punished, because we would rather trust in the Lord during a time of pestilence than count on goodness coming from any of Israel's enemies. His faith made him strong. Likewise, we see with St. John the Baptist, was who he was in his relationship to God that gave him the courage to denounce evil. We know that he was blessed even from the womb, but he was the first person who had made straight the paths for the Lord to come to him. He was the first one to repent, for the forgiveness of God was at hand. He was the one who, before he said to others about Jesus that he must increase and I must decrease, he was one who had allowed the Lord Jesus to increase within him as his own ego continuously decreased. And because he was willing to let the Lord increase and himself be minimized, he was not afraid of death. Similarly with St. Agatha, it was precisely because she was all the Lord's that she knew that the Lord had triumphed even over death, that she was unafraid when she was being threatened by death. It was her virginity that made her so strong. Those words of St. Ambrose that I'll never cease to repeat, when he wrote the beautiful treatise on virginity to celebrate the feast of another virgin martyr, St. Agnes, who was from Rome. Virginity is praiseworthy not because it is found in martyrs. Virginity is praiseworthy because it makes martyrs. It's precisely that faith-filled dying to self each day in order to love the Lord in the little moments of chaste love that allows us to remain faithful in the supreme moment. So we've covered three characters. We got two to go. The one who shows us this connection between piety and courage, the greatest, is the Lord himself. The Lord's courage was different than his 28th generation ancestor. David demonstrated his courage in a foremost way in battle, slaying the enemy. David has slain his 10,000. How Jesus show it? He could have easily slain people by the tens of millions if he wished to. But instead he had the courage to suffer it all, to be able to take it, to be able to be struck down, so that by his stripes we might be healed. He had the courage to turn the other cheek. He had the courage to pray for his persecutors. He had the courage to love even his enemies. He had the courage to embrace his cross and keep getting up on that road to Calvary. He had the courage there not to be even thinking about himself, but to be thinking about the Father and the salvation of others. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus is that real model of courage. And that came precisely because of his piety with regard to God the Father. Lord, take this chalice away from me, but not my will, but thine be done. And his constant intimate relationship with the Father that he wanted to give us entrance into. Jesus shows us the supreme form of courage. And when we come here to Mass, he wishes to place that courage within us, precisely by forming us to be pious, so that at a daily basis we're receiving the strength of the Lord, so that in little things or big things we might give witness to the truth, we might embarrass ourselves out of love for the Lord, and we might suffer together with the Lord what he allows to come to us. Because, like Saint Agatha, we are totally the Lord's, and it's here that we come to him with her valedictory and say, "Possess all that I am." May the Lord indeed make us pious and courageous, so that we might share eternity in joy with Saint Agatha and all the saints who from piety became courageous in giving witness to the Lord in this world, so that he eternally gives witness to them before the Father. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.